Welcome, everyone. It is July the 26th, and we are moving on through our wonderful season of life. It's just grand. It's a grand journey, whether we view it on a daily basis or on an annual or a lifetime basis. There's a reason we call our spiritual path a path, and that is because it is developing and becoming and leading us toward our great destination. And I am so glad to be part of that and to be here with you as you move forward on your path. So we will move on into our call now. I would love to have some contributions to some people to speak. I have some great messages from Yeshua, but it won't take the full 30 minutes. And it's always nice to weave them into what's happening for you in your life, what you would like to request, what you've attained, where you are, where you're going. And so we do have a caller now. I've unmuted your, I'm trying to unmute your, you should be unmuted. That would be area code 281. Just speak up if I didn't get it right. It's 1, so it looks like an international call. 1, plus 1, 281. If it's you, speak up. Hi. Hello? Is that Suzanne? Okay. Well, we're not getting a signal from you, and I will try someone else is now on the call. Hi, area code 642, and you're on. Hello? All right, we have someone else trying. Let's work until we get it. Hello, from area code 415, you're on. I am going to unmute everyone and see if that helps. I don't know. I really actually do not know what's going on. This is,
Hello?
Hello?
Hello, this is Kathy. Can you hear me?
I can, Kathy. What number are you calling from?
I'm the one calling from 281.
Okay. You know, the funny thing is you're still muted on my line, but you're open there. This is really strange.
Yeah,
I'm going to unmute you here and see if we keep you. Okay, speak up. Okay, it looks like you needed to be muted in my line, and I do not know what's going on there.
Okay, it just said unmuted. Can you still hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Okay, I don't know. It keeps saying muted and unmuted, but anyway, I'll talk while I get a chance. I've been thinking a lot about what you're talking about, receivership and opening ourselves up receiving. And
mm-hmm.
The one thing that was on my mind was mercy and how mercy fits into it. I know what it's like for me, you know, like to show mercy to someone else. I feel like it would be, you know, forgiving someone or wiping the clean. But so oftentimes, you know, I find myself, and I know other people too, we pray to God to be merciful to us. And I was just trying to figure out about the application of mercy and how that fits into receiving all the abundance from God.
Well, it fits very well among many a number of other things like withholding forgiveness or holding grudges, or even if it's not a full-blown grudge, it's just the kind of like, I really don't want this person in my life anymore. You know, it doesn't have to be like you're sending bad vibes to them. You just made some decisions. What you basically done, whenever we have these restrained attitudes or emotions towards someone else, is we put up a boundary. We put up a barrier. Sometimes barriers are essential. If we live in a city, we know we need to lock our doors at night. We have other boundaries that we put up in the workspace because we expect to be treated appropriately and respected. So we put our boundaries up. And as long as we manage those boundaries with consciousness, appropriateness, and respect for others, they work for us. But we can become so locked in behind the boundaries we put between ourselves and others that we can't receive anything. It would be like we put ourselves in a wetsuit and wondered why we didn't get wet, you know, like you go diving in the ocean. It's almost as if we've put ourselves in an impermeable covering, and nothing can get through that covering. We meant it to be towards someone else, but it doesn't. But it works both ways. You have to remember, everything in this universe works both ways. When we give mercy to others, we receive mercy. When we forgive others, we are forgiven. When we release debts that other people have toward us, others release their debts toward us. Everything in this universe works both ways. There's no such thing as a boundary that only works one way. We'd like to think that boundaries are kind of like quarantining a dog with rabies until it can be treated. You know, we like to think that that's what boundaries are like. It just keeps dangerous situations away from us. It keeps us isolated from them. But actually, it keeps us isolated from both the dangerous and the non-dangerous situations. It works both ways. And part of the reason it does gets back to one of these key laws of the universe that we covered in our 12 laws of the universe that really work. And I know you were in that class. A lot of people in the Blessing Course were in that class. So this will bring back a lot of important understanding and a new application. Those who weren't, the very simple thing you need to know is that gravity is not just a magnetic pull. Gravity actually works through the curvature of a force field. This is why planets rotate around the sun in a circle, and they don't just get drawn into the sun. And this circular force field is around everything, and it's around us. And whenever we put up a boundary, that boundary is spherical. It's circular and spherical. And it becomes like this protective boundary around us. Sometimes it's essential and beneficial, especially if we haven't been feeling well and we just need to be left alone for a while. But we forget to take these down. And one of the other things about the spherical universe is that it keeps us from knowing what's down the road. There might be something or someone that's annoying us right now, annoying us really, really terribly. But that person may, down the road, become an important ally. You see, we can't see around the curves in the road. And it's very, very important that we manage our boundaries with enlightenment, caring, mercy, understanding, and facilitation for the best that life can offer. So I guess that's basically what I would like to say.
Okay. So
and I think that's how it works in with receivership. And can you see that that would work?
I do. I think what I'm thinking of is like when I'm praying to God, ask for God to be merciful to me, and I think what you're saying is that I need to manage my boundaries because his mercy is always there. Is that basically what you're saying?
I thought your question was about the challenge you felt in being merciful for others. So I guess I misunderstood your question. my answer was about what I thought your question was. When you pray for mercy for yourself, you need to be willing to be merciful to others. And that does come down to your boundary issues.
Okay.
Because that's why we put them up. We either are annoyed with something, we're afraid of something, we are intolerant of something, we've made a judgment of something, and we just don't care to be merciful to some horrible situations or people with horrible behavior. But when we ask for mercy for ourselves, we have to be willing, because God is saying, all right, if I'm merciful to you, can you be merciful to others?
Right, okay.
Well, is that a problem for you right now that you need us to offer a blessing for you on?
Oh, I could always accept a blessing. I'd be willing to open myself up to that.
Okay. I got the feeling it was more of an intellectual question when you asked it. But if it's a real need for you, we will offer a blessing for more mercy for you and for you to experience more mercy toward others.
Thank you. I really appreciate that, because I think that's probably what prompted my intellectual question in the first place.
Okay. Okay. Very good. Very good. Well, we have been, it looks like I'm having some major problems with receivership today, getting the lines open. I'm going to keep these, I'm going to go ahead and put a mute back on. Anyone else who tried to speak, just speak up and see if you can. Let's see if we can hear you.
Hello.
Hi, Glenda.
Hello. Hi. Hello? Speak up again. Let's see. I'm trying something different on our line.
Hi, Glenda.
Hello.
Oh, hi. I can hear you both. You know, the funny thing is I can only if I mute the line can I hear you, which is really crazy. So let's just first one, then let's let the lady go first, okay?
Okay. Hi, Glenda. It's Linda.
Hi, Linda.
How are you?
I'm doing much better now that I can talk to someone.
Look, I apologize if it's a little bit noisy. I am driving, but we'll be at the local park pretty soon to do the blessings. But I just wanted to tell you how much I'm enjoying the study guide. I finally sat down on Sunday for a few hours to finally pick it up and dedicate my afternoon to just that quiet time. And it just so happened that on Sunday I was at a very, very low and feeling defeated and frustrated and just wanting to give up on life and everything and wanting to get the blessings going and teaching them. And, you know, it's been a year now and that still hasn't happened. But, and oddly enough, of course, the first chapter was all about surrender. So it was perfect because my surrender was really the defeated surrender rather than the surrender that you're talking about. And I never really put surrender sort of together with right action. So I really, really enjoyed that, and I'm looking really forward to getting into the rest of the study guide.
Oh, thank you for saying that, Linda. I so appreciate your feedback. And, you know, it prompted me to say one more thing about it, and that is that the study guide you could treat it like a course, like, okay, I'm going to do a whole course of Love Without End. I'm going to start at the beginning and go to the end. You could do that, and it would be a phenomenal course. But for those who've read Love Without End a number of times and now are reading it more serendipitously, the study guide can also work that way. For example, let's say you open Love Without End to Chapter 7, and that's what speaks to you for that day. You could read what's in Love Without End and then go to the study guide in Chapter 7, and see how the study guide will amplify your understanding of what you just read. So the study guide is not limited to just a sequential developmental type course. It is designed so that it can be as fluid as you need it to be. And I think that's important to say because a lot of people don't have time right now to just open the book and take a whole course. And it could be inhibiting some people just picking it up. So whatever you're reading in Love Without End, it could just be a couple of sentences. Check in the study guide and see how it would relate to that chapter. And I think you'll be able to get a great deal more out of your reading. So that's wonderful, and it's always good to hear from you, Linda.
Yeah, thanks. Lots of love. Thank you.
You're welcome. And the gentleman who was on the call, hi.
Hi, Linda. This is Steve Adler.
Steve! Oh, my gosh. I haven't heard from you in ages.
It's been a while, hasn't it? It's so great
to hear you. It has. So nice to hear your voice.
And I'm curious about free energy. I'm really interested in the subject of free energy, and I really believe that free energy that's available in the universe ultimately comes from love. And I believe that, you know, eventually we can access it or harness it. I think we always have it in our bodies and our lives through prayer and so on, but I really have faith that someday, you know, our scientists will be able to access it and bring into our reality a clean energy that's non-toxic, like you speak about, and Love Without End. And so I'm just wondering if you have any further insights to or further developments. I know you've talked to scientists a lot. If you have any further information in regards to our progress towards achieving that goal of accessing a free, clean energy, I'm, you know, obviously very interested. I pray about it always. I always pray within my own sacred heart that I am taught about it, you know, through revelation, and it's a very deep interest of mine. And I heard you said something about how gravity is caused by a curvature in space. And I, you know, I really believe that gravity is somehow caused by love itself. And I want to know if you can touch a little bit, if you have time, on that subject again, and maybe also free energy if you have any further information.
Hi, this is Glenda, and can anyone hear me?
I can hear you, Glenda.
Okay, I think I just for some reason, my line has gotten crossed with someone else's, and that's what's been causing the problem with the mute. Okay, if you can hear me now, I will give you my answer. I have not been in direct communication with scientists in probably a year or two, although I do read, and I keep up with the directions. One thing I can say, Steve, is that I believe that science is beginning to look in the right places, in the right ways. It's a little, where we are is just a little bit before Einstein discovered the law of relativity, where scientists were trying to find the answers within the laws of Isaac Newton. And they were pushing them to the limit, not finding what they were looking for. And Albert Einstein looked at the universe with new eyes, a new mind, a new mathematical orientation, and made the breakthrough that he had. And scientists today are looking in different places, in different ways, and I think that the discovery is imminent. Now, as we were told by Yeshua, love is the great force from which the entire universe was created. And in the beginning, before we had what we call gravity today, and remember that when we talk about gravity, that's a kind of a sixth grade colloquial limitation on the correct term, which is gravitational field. there is no thing or particular generative action that is gravity. In that sense, we're confusing it with electromagnetism. Gravity is an entire field, and it's an entire field that is has curvature to the space. Now, that curvature is a remnant of how the universe was originally created, which was from attractor fields. In other words, particles that were generating life and energy and intent coagulated into powerful generative points in creation around which attractor fields formed greater fields of potential. And these attractor fields became the gravitational fields that we study in physics today. So that lineage has been now exposed scientifically, which means they're on the right track. They're moving back toward where the original generative particles can be discovered. There have been all kinds of candidates exposed and purported by science to be the original particle, which they sort of ironically call the God particle. But none of them, no matter how small they are, no matter how indivisible they are, none of them can really fulfill the ultimate definition of what has to be discovered unless they can generate their own energy. That's the key. In the beginning, particles generated their own energy. In other words, basically, the particles were being the love that they are. And I think that that feeds into your question, that ultimately there could be a particle that loved itself enough that it could simply radiate energy and life, giving forth abundantly without requiring any input whatsoever. As we get closer to understanding the nature of that particle, where it exists, how it exists, then we will be able to find this field of energy we're looking for. And it probably will be a field of energy rather than a particular fountain of energy like drilling for oil or capturing the electromagnetic resistance that is given off in the great waterfalls and dams of the world. So it will probably be a whole field of energy once we actually tap into it. Does that help a little bit?
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can.
Yeah, I think that helps. Thank you. Yeah, I remember in another book I read once by Flo Magdalena that Yeshua said that it's about, you know, coming into resonance with that field. That's how you access that energy. And obviously I think that eventually that is something that, you know, we as human beings, as walking attractor fields ourselves, can do. We can come into resonance with that energy. But then also somehow eventually translate that resonance into devices or technology.
Exactly. You know, people would just get close to Yeshua and they would be healed. When he would appear, I was in a different field of energy, altogether different. And I think that this is many, many times he has come to people in the form of a blinding light. At least it looked blinding to them. But what it was just the magnificence of the energy field in which he lives, which is tremendously high frequency potential. And I think he probably has to tone it down so that we can be in it. And most of the time, probably he's around us, and we could actually see him just as I saw him if our eyes could tune into that energy field. He adapted it so that I could see him, so that I could paint the portrait. But he's here. He's in that particular energy field that sustains his life, that allows him to give more love, more healing, and more energy and uplifting grace to the human race. And you learned, all of our blessing givers learn a great deal about this in the blessing seminar. I hope you're coming this fall, Steve. I know you said something at one.
I am planning to come. I'm excited to come.
That's great. That's great. And I want to invite anyone who wants to know more about how to turn your life into this great attractor field that is centered in love and offers its blessings to the world, because that's really what it's all about. And that's what Yeshua did when he walked on the earth, and he teaches us how to do that. He taught the apostles. He teaches anyone who will listen. And it starts with learning how to receive. We've been talking about receiving as our major theme the last few Sundays. And we will shorten the topic a little bit this Sunday because we're moving on toward the time we need for our blessing. But one thing I do want to say, and that is that sometimes we can feel that we're receiving, but it's not everything we want. It's something that's beneficial, but not everything. And we can become impatient. I was just building a recipe for my husband's lunch before the blessing call, and I was putting it on to cook, and I realized, I was thinking about the call and thinking about how I would express what I'm trying to say, and that building that recipe was the perfect analogy, because there are about 10 ingredients in it. And if all I had was one ingredient and I put that on to cook, well, it might be sort of nourishing, but my husband would say, well, didn't you leave something out? If I put in two ingredients, he would say, what did you forget? It would take putting in all of the ingredients to make that recipe. And just as we receive in layers and sequences, sometimes God offers to us the ingredients for our well-being, our recovery, or our expansion in layers. So often we've used the metaphor of peeling an onion as to how we layer, we pull off in layers things that are not working for us. We might pull off in layers old failures, resentments, a little bit of baggage or garbage from previous relationships, maybe things we learned that we don't need to use anymore, but it's clouding our thoughts up with ideas that just don't have any relevance, and we become impatient with ourselves. We think, well, why do I keep doing that? It just doesn't work anymore. Peeling the onion, getting rid of these things, even peeling the onion on healing. For example, we might start with just a better diet, and then we might proceed to detoxifying our body. We might move towards some kind of deeper cleanse, and then we might move towards vitamin or mineral therapy. And while we're doing that, we might have some therapeutic massages or maybe some laser light treatments or some energetic treatments. And we refer to that as we're peeling the onion. We're getting rid of things that don't work in layers. Well, the same thing works in reverse, and that is building the recipe. We don't put everything in the kettle all at once. If we were going to be making beef stroganoff, we would take the beef tips and we would saute them in a skillet. And then in another one, we would caramelize the onions. They wouldn't even be in the same pan. We would be cooking one, cooking another, and then we would put them in a large stew pot, and we would probably, in the meantime, even be sautéing the mushrooms or other ingredients. And then we'd put them all in the pot, and then we would put our seasoning. And we would cook this for several hours until tender. And we'd be tasting it and making sure it was just the way we wanted it to be. But we wouldn't put the sour cream in until last, because you want to have the sour cream fresh and rich as the last ingredient you put in. It just tastes better. It doesn't break up in the cooking or curdle, or it's just fresh and rich. Oh, well, the very last ingredient you would add would be the noodles. And you would cook the egg noodles separately and then put them in at the very end. And then you've got the final dish. I could give you the same recipe if you were here watching me paint a painting. It would start with a sketch. The sketch wouldn't have everything in it. Then I would go to an underpainting. And some parts of the underpainting might look rather scruffy and not all that beautiful, because all they are is an underlayment of color and a way I block out the composition. Then from that underpainting, there would be middle paintings in which I build layers and layers of color that will make the details much richer when I get ready to put the details in. So our receiving is a lot like either building a painting or building a recipe. God gives us what we need to have now. What we need in order to have a stronger foundation. And it could be a stronger faith. It could be a better attitude. It could be a more generous spirit. It could be a bright new idea, or just a desire to feel better about life, falling in love with life unconditionally. God gives us what we're ready to receive, but that's not the whole recipe. And it won't be given to you as the whole recipe. Yeshua worked with people in stages. He built their understanding by degrees, by layers, by accumulations of awareness, knowledge, and readiness. One of the apostles asked him once, "Why do you speak to the public in parables where you say very little? But to us, you say all these great and wondrous things." And he said, "I speak to them in parables because that's all they can understand. To you now, to you it is given to know these things." That tells us he has been building their understanding for days, months, possibly years. And Peter wasn't originally Peter. He was Simon. But he changed his name to Peter when Peter arrived at the point where he was ready to become the foundation on which the next level of work would occur. He's been building the recipe. And the apostles once asked him, "Lord, when will it all be done? When will you have achieved what you need to achieve and the kingdom of heaven will come on earth?" And he said, "I can't tell you that." And then he said something which is fascinating to me. He said, "Not even the Father knows." Not even the Father knows when it will be done? Well, that tells me that God, the Father, the Creator, the heavenly Lord of all that is building the kingdom of heaven, not with any disrespect intended, but the way we would build a recipe for a fine dish, or I would build a painting. I don't have a clue when a painting will be done. It's done when it's done. And I think about the Pope asking Michelangelo when the Sistine Ceiling would be done. Oh, the Pope was so impatient with him. And he would say, "Michelangelo, when can you bring an end to this?" And Michelangelo would say, "It will be complete when it's complete." He would not give the Pope an answer. The Pope was so frustrated. Well, we can be awfully frustrated too. But the thing is, all of life is like a work of art. It's built through accumulations of readiness, receiving, faith, openness, hope, creativity, more receiving, more, even giving and producing and action, adding to our life from the gifts of our life, maybe joining with other people. It's a work in progress. Just say to yourself, God is not finished with me. I'm a work in progress. But when we come to the blessing, and for blessing givers who understand the center from which this work occurs, that work in progress accelerates. That's the best analogy I can give you, is that it's kind of like putting your TV, remote control on fast forward, and everything speeds up. Now, you're not going to want to sit there and have all of life on fast forward. You wouldn't get to enjoy it. But this allows you to fast forward through those moments that need accelerated answers, accelerated production, accelerated accomplishment. Now you, in order to enjoy the benefits of it, need to work on your receivership, your openness, and the way we started the session today with Kathy and the whole topic of surrender. And that idea of being available to God's grace and God's goodwill. So let us begin our blessing today. And I want to say just one last thing. Please, if you're thinking about coming to the blessing seminar in the fall, please come. Whether you plan to be a blessing giver or not, it will do more than anything else you've ever done to open your receivership to life and to unveil the love that you are, radiating light unto the world. And that's something everyone can benefit by. Also, we are already about one-third enrolled, so I thought I needed to say that. Now, let us begin, and I would like you to be seated, feet on the ground, so that your feet can receive from the earth, head pointed to heaven, so that your head, the top of your head, can receive the blessings of heaven, the blessings of the cosmos, and the blessings of the greater light surrounding our earth, our beautiful sun, and all points of space beyond. Your attention, let that fall into your heart, that you may be near the sacred gate of heaven, where you stand with Yeshua, where the blessings of God open into your life. Let your heart dilate as it feels your approach and your presence there. Be in your heart and release the thoughts of your mind, that you may receive unconditionally the blessings of Christ, the fullness and the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the love and the grace of God. We ask for the blessings, the beauty, the grace, the love, the charity, the gifts, and the healing that you have to offer, dear Yeshua. We thank you for your eternal guidance, your everlasting friendship, your glorious presence in our life, and your ever upward guidance to us to greater and greater places in which to live in the kingdom of heaven. We ask for your presence now, that we may receive all you have to offer. Amen. your blessing is not complete, the next thing for you to do is to go rest and receive. Allow your heart, mind, soul, and body to be filled with all the grace and healing that has been offered to you. But don't think. Don't verbalize anything. Just have a blank slate as you rest and receive. God is with you. I look forward to being with you again next week. Until then, be well, be happy, and much love. Bye-bye for now.